sorry. Did I knock it? Ah, it's on. Okay. Happy Sabbath. As Pastor Sam said, thank you everyone who has participated in the service thus far. God never ceases to amaze me with how he plans each and every detail of a service, from song service to the offering, to the children's story, to the special music, to every single thing. He just has it, every detail. He blows me away. He's made a divine appointment for each and every one of us here this morning. You're not here by coincidence, but you're here by the wooing of the Holy Spirit. He has something that he wants to say to you, and I am only the vessel that he decided to use this Sabbath. So as the special music said, which I almost was just like, don't even sing the other one. Because you know how like you just feel the presence of the Holy Spirit just there through a song? And as the Willis family was singing that, you know, praying for the Holy Spirit, Lord, you want to bring manna down. He wants to spiritually satisfy our hungers and our desires this Sabbath. So I'm going to have another word of prayer before we get into the scripture. So let's go ahead and bow our heads. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, I thank you so much, Lord, that you have planned every single part of this church service. I thank you for each and every individual that you have brought here this Sabbath day. Lord, I know that you have something that you want to say to each of us. And I pray that our hearts would be in a position to accept and follow you this Sabbath. Lord, remind us of how good you are. Refresh us by your Spirit. Lord, send showers of blessings down from heaven. Feed us manna from above. Lord, we pray that you would be uplifted. I pray that you would put a guard over my lips that only your words would come out. Only your name would be glorified. And I ask this for your sake. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Amen. All right. Paul is the one who, the scripture reading, the things that I once considered gain to me, I now consider lost. Paul was the one who spoke that, and he lived those words. Those words weren't just something that he said, but he lived. And as we look at his life, I mean, we're studying the book of Acts as a church right now, and as we read about Paul and his conversion and what he used to be to what he is today, it just amazes you of God's working power. God is alive and powerful. And this morning, I'm going to share with you just 2 points in particular, but just hitting on the surface. I encourage you guys to dig deeper into this because I can't spend all day telling you what I've studied this week, but I can share with you a little bit. And the first thing that God amazes me with is his ability to know everything. He's very clear, and I want you guys to get this in your heads. God knows. Two very simple but very powerful words. God knows. God knows. I had this on my phone. Some of you have the phones where you can have like a banner, like words you can type in. So you could say, Andrea Anderson. So if somebody opened up your phone, they'd say, oh, it's Andrea Anderson's phone. But I decided that I was going to have God knows in 2010 is my banner. So every time I opened up my phone, I saw this. And sometimes I just overlooked it, you know, kind of you get used to it being there. But it was very, very powerful that each and every situation, it really would speak to me. You know, sometimes I just grab my phone, I got into a car accident, and I look down, I'm getting ready to call somebody, and I see God knows. Oh, comforting to my heart to know that my Heavenly Father knows exactly the situation that I'm in at that moment. Lord, I don't know where I'm supposed to go. God knows. Lord, I'm lonely. God knows. God knows how each and every one of us feel. God knows the things and the trials that we've been through this past week. God knows. It's beautiful. It's comforting. It's powerful. It can change you if you let it. We're going to start by opening up to the book of Luke. Luke chapter 12. Luke 12, verses 6 and 7. He's trying to get this point across to his people because he knows that we have hard heads. Sometimes he has to repeat things over and over and over again to us till we finally get it. And so he's trying to get his beloved children to understand this point. Luke 12, verses 6 and 7. This is what Jesus says. Are not five sparrows sold for 2 copper coins. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear, therefore, you are of more value than the sparrows. I missed a part in verse 6. The end of it says, and not one of them is forgotten before God. Not one of them. These sparrows that are sold for 2 copper coins. And I mean, we don't know what 2 copper coins is off the top of our head. I'm not like, oh yeah, 2 copper coins. Because I don't use copper coins. So I looked this up. What is 2 copper coins worth? And it's about 1/8 of a day's wages. Not very much at all. That's not even like 1/8 of a paycheck, not anything. 1/8 of a day's wages, five of them are sold, not even one. Five, and it says, not one of them is forgotten by their heavenly Father. And then he tells us, I know how many hairs are on your head. That's pretty amazing. And then he says, you are of more value than they are. Okay, so what's our value? What's our worth? Well, Jesus came down to this earth for us. If he knows the sparrows and they're not forgotten by him, you are not forgotten by God. Your circumstances that you are going through, God says, I know. And even though you may feel like I've forgotten you, I have not forgotten you. I know. And you are not forsaken. Beautiful. There's a verse in Hebrews 4:13 that says, and there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him who we must give an account. Nothing is hidden from his sight. Take comfort in that. Nothing is hidden. You know what's most amazing about that? Is it doesn't matter what sin you've committed. He says, I've already known and I died for that. I still love you. I knew that you would do that. It says, God knows. God has not forsaken you and your situation. And the beautiful thing is the book of Hebrews is all about God being our high priest. And the reason why the author of Hebrews is trying to bring this out to us is because he wants you to realize that Jesus has passed through trials. Jesus has passed through trying times. Jesus has experienced sadness. Jesus has experienced loss. And Jesus says, you can come to me with whatever is on your plate, and I am able to handle it. I know everything. I know how you feel, and I want to help you. There's another passage that I was just like, whoa. And we're going to go to that whoa passage in Psalms 139. Psalms Psalms 139, verses 1 through 4. I'm going to go ahead and start. O Lord, you have searched me and know me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thoughts afar off. You comprehend my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. There is not a word on my tongue, but behold, O Lord, you know it all together. I guess what the woe was that really stood out to me from this was I was thinking, okay, God knows. But then he really knows, because it says that when you sit down, he knows. When you rise up, he knows. And if he knows when you sit down and when you rise up in the path that you're going on, do you not think if he knows those things, he also knows the big circumstances that we're going through in our life, the big trials that we're facing, the things that weigh us down? Do you think that if he knows when you sit down and when you rise up, he knows those other situations, those other problems, those other trials, those other temptations? God says, I know. God says, I have not forsaken you. I have remembered you. And it even says in verse 17, if you're thinking, well, oh, he remembers me, he knows me. Here's what he thinks when he sees you. Oh, precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How great is the sum of them. He has precious thoughts towards you. He loves you. He loves you so, so much. It blows me away. And the way that we treat him sometimes, but he still says, I love you. I love you. I love you. I love you. So I want you guys to really get these points in your mind, the two. So when you walk away and somebody asks you what the sermon was about, you won't have to be like, So here, point number one is God knows. Point number one is God knows. Point number one, God knows. God knows, and he has not forsaken you in the situation that you find yourself in today. God knows. With that thought in mind, let's turn to the book of Acts, where we are going to spend our time this morning. Acts chapter 16. Acts is written by Luke, the same person that read the scripture, or that we read the scripture earlier about the sparrows, same author. Pastor Sam was preaching last Sabbath on Acts 15. And we were talking about the council at Jerusalem that was going on, you know, is circumcision okay? You know, if Gentiles are coming in, should they have to, you know, follow our things exactly the same way? And they came out with, yes, you need to be circumcised. The circumcision of the heart. That's what you need. And so they went around and they were spreading this to the different regions that weren't there. And Paul, at the end of Acts 15, Paul and Barnabas part ways. So Barnabas decides, I'm going to go with Mark. And Paul goes with Silas. So now they're going off. They're missionaries. They're going to do the Lord's work. And so they go out, and the first place that they get to is Derbe. So they're at Derbe, and they meet Timothy. They hear lots of good things about this young man named Timothy. And so Paul says, I want Timothy to join us in our missionary journeys. And so they start to journey along. So now there's all four of them, because Luke is also involved in this story. So you have Paul, Silas, Timothy, and Luke all together on a missionary journey. Where is the Lord going to take them? What is he going to do? Remember that God knows. God has a plan. They may not know, but God knows. And so the beautiful thing is reading in verse 6, 6, at the end of it, they're trying to go into Asia, and it says, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. Why? What, I mean, how? It's a good deed that they're doing, right? It's a good plan that they have. Preaching the word is good, but it says that they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. Why? Because God knows and has a better plan. And so he's now going to lead them somewhere else. So they try to go somewhere else. They try to go to, let me see here, Bithynia. But the Holy Spirit did not permit them. All right, so they're going here. They're trying to go into Asia. No. Now they're trying to go to Bithynia. No. They're feeling a little probably discouraged. All right, so now they end up in Troas. And they're waiting on the Lord. Now, we've talked about waiting on the Lord, and it's important, but it's hard. So they're waiting on the Lord. Lord, where are you going to lead us? And remember, God has a plan. Paul may not know what the plan is, but God knows. Amen. And now we see Paul gets a vision of a man. And let's go ahead and read that in verse 10. Now, after he had seen the vision, let's jump up to 9. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia stood and pleaded with him, saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. Now, after he had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go to Macedonia, concluding the Lord had called us to preach the gospel to them. Wow. All right, so they waited on the Lord. Now, the Lord knows the plans. He knows the people that need to hear the messages, the right day that they need to hear them. I mean, he had it all planned out before him. Who was going to be at the service? So they get into Philippi now, and they've been there a few days, and it's the Sabbath. What do you do on the Sabbath? You get together and fellowship with other Christians. But there was no church. What are they going to do? And so what they decide to do is, whenever there was not a place of worship, it was customary that they would go to the riverbank outside the city, and there would be a group that meets there and studies the word of God and prays. So we see that in verse 13. And on the Sabbath day, we went out of the city to the riverside, where prayer was customarily made, and sat down and spoke to the woman who met there. Now this is God's providence. He knew that this woman named Lydia was going to be there. A certain woman named Lydia heard us. She was a seller of purple from the city of Thyatira. You know, we'll go with that. Who worshiped God. The Lord opened her heart to heed the things spoken by Paul. How powerful. The Holy Spirit worked on her heart that she could accept the message that Paul was preaching on behalf of Jesus Christ. He knew, God knew that they needed to be there on that exact day. That's maybe why he had them wait a few days. God had a plan, and he knew that when Lydia, the seller of purple, heard the message of Jesus Christ, her heart would be touched. And she would accept him. And it says later on that not only she accepted Christ, but all of her households got baptized along with her. The blessing was spread. God had a plan for Lydia. And we see that Lydia was a seller of purple. So a seller of purple probably in some ways had a little bit of wealth. But the thing about it is that money does not satisfy. The richest person can be the loneliest person. She realized that this was not enough. And it said that she was already worshiping God, but apparently God wanted to take it to the next level. So when she heard Paul's message, her heart was stirred. And this wealthy woman realized her need of a savior. God had a plan for Lydia. God knew exactly what he was doing. As we continue on, we see another conversion. In verse 16, all the way through 18, we're in Acts 16. Acts 16:16. Now it happened, as we went to prayer, that a certain slave girl, possessed with a spirit of divination, met us, who brought her masters much profit by fortune telling. This girl followed Paul and us and cried out, saying, "These men are servants of the Most High God who proclaimed to us the way of salvation." And this she did for many days. But Paul, greatly annoyed, turned and said to the spirit, "I command you in the name of Jesus Christ, come out of her." And he came out that very hour. Wow! God cared about Lydia, and God cares about a poor servant girl. God cares about a poor servant girl. He has a plan for her too. And he casts the evil spirit out. Paul casts this evil spirit out, and it is powerful. I doubt that when Paul woke up that morning, he was like, "Well, you know, there's going to be a lady that's going to follow us around this whole time, and she's just going to cry out. You know, these are servants of the Most High God," for multiple days. I mean, can you imagine what that was like? I mean, imagine somebody walking in the back of the church right now, and they start saying, "Andrea Anderson is preaching the word of the Lord. Andrea Anderson is preaching the word of the Lord." Would you guys eventually get distracted? I mean, if you wouldn't, I would. I would hardly be able to preach the word of the Lord because this woman would be going crazy in the back of the church. And this is how it was with Paul. You know, they don't need any more distractions than there already are. But on top of that, was the woman telling a lie? No, she wasn't. But the distraction was enough. And along with that, Satan was trying to do like interweave. He likes to do that, mix some truth in with a whole lot of air. And he gets us. And so here we have him mixing the truth in. And so it looks like these two are connected. These two are the same spirit. But we see this in Jesus. When Jesus was walking the earth, he had people follow after him, say, "This is the Son of the Most High God." And what did he do? "I rebuke you. I send you out in the name of," you know, Jesus Christ. And the evil spirit leaves. The two did not go together. So now this evil spirit is cast out. It is proven at that moment that the two spirits are not the same. God still has a plan. God still knows what's going on. He still is trying to lead them and weave them to go in the right direction. And he knew what was going to happen next. Let's read. Verse 19, "But when her masters saw that their hope of profit was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to the authorities. They brought them to the magistrates and said, 'These men, being Jews, exceedingly trouble our city. And they teach customs which are not lawful for us, being Romans, to receive or observe.' Then the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates tore off their clothes and commanded them to be beaten with rods. And when they had laid many stripes on them, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely. Having received such a charge, he put them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks." Wow. What just happened? They had tons of people. They had people coming to Christ. And now all of a sudden, in a moment, their life gets flipped upside down. They are thrown in, stripped of their clothes. They're beaten with rods. I can't imagine that that feels good. And then they're put into the inner prison. And on top of that, on top of already being in pain, being bruised, beaten, probably hungry, I mean, probably the least of their worries at this point, they get their feet put in stocks, laid, the way that they would do it is a lot of times they would lay them on their backs. So you're not in a very comfortable position. I doubt they're on a bed. It's probably cement and cold. The smell is probably horrendous because they are in the inner prison. They're not getting fresh airflow. Where do you go to the bathroom? Where do the other prisoners go to the bathroom? It's probably a little painful to even take a breath. At this point, they would be able to question, God, do you know? God, hello? God, do you know right now? Do you know what we're going through, God? Hello? Hello? Have you forsaken me? Have you forgotten about me? This would be the time. God, are you there? Are you noticing? Lord, how many of us have been in that position? How many of us have felt the same things? Maybe we're not beaten with literal rods, but we feel beaten up by the world, by circumstances that have happened. What about the weight of the world is so heavy on our shoulders that it's even painful to take a breath? I don't know if I can even live another day. This is too much. What did Paul and Silas do? I believe that they looked beyond their feelings at that moment. And they said, I know that God knows. I know that God knows what I'm going through right now, and he wants to be involved. God knows. God has not forsaken us. God says the same exact thing to us this morning. He knows. He has not forsaken you and any of the circumstances that surround you and your life right now. I said that there was two points that I wanted to bring out. Let's see, without me saying it first. The first point is God knows. Perfect. God knows. God knows and God has not forsaken. Point number two. Oh, you guys, I haven't even said point number two. You're coming up with your own points. All right. Point number two is from Romans 8:28. And I know that all things work together for good for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. Point number two, it's a little longer to just say, it's a little longer, but all things work together for good. Go ahead and say that.
All things work together for good.
All things work together for good. God knows all things work together for good. Let's read that, because all things do work together for good. Verse 25, but at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening. Suddenly, there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's chains were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking from sleep and seeing the prison doors open, supposed the prisoners had fled, drew his sword and was about to kill himself. But Paul called out with a loud voice, saying, "Do yourself no harm, for we are all here." Then he called for a light, ran in, and fell down, trembling before Paul and Silas. And he brought them out and said to them, "What must I do to be saved?" Wow. Wow. God is good. God delivered. God is gracious. And not only that, but he brought a whole lot of good out of a whole lot of bad. In the chapter 16, the book of Acts, chapter 16, there is three different conversions that are recorded. First is Lydia, the rich seller of purple. God knew her, God loved her, and cared about her situation, and drew her to him. Person number two that we read about is a poor servant girl possessed by an evil spirit. Somebody that probably didn't look like a very likely candidate to be a Christian. Somebody that a lot of people would have just looked at and been like, "I'm going to go find somebody else." Then we see a heathen jailer brought to God because somebody was brought to the prison. God cared about each and every one of these individuals. He didn't look and say, "Oh, this one's rich and this one's poor, so I'm going to go ahead and help the rich." That's not how he works. He doesn't play favorites. God cares about each and every person sitting in this room today. God knows. God has not forsaken. God can work good out of the awful situations that are going on. God knows. And God knew this, that when Paul and Silas went into that prison, went through that trial, that a man was going to get his life saved that night because of the trial that Paul and Silas had to go through. A man was saved, but not only one man, his whole family. And not only his whole family, but those who they influenced and brought to Christ after. And not just them, but we read in verse 25 that when they were singing to the Lord and praying at midnight, who was hearing them? All the prisoners, all the inmates were like, "These guys are crazy. I mean, I've heard swearing and I've heard moaning and groaning because of pain and I've heard all this stuff, but I've never heard people praying. I've never heard people singing hymns of praise when they're in this much pain." Those inmates were touched too by the Spirit of God. And God is so good that he doesn't just end it there. It goes even further. Because Paul and Silas get this huge blessing that they would have never got, to watch God come and cause the earth to shake for their sake. He experienced an amazing blessing. I can't imagine what that does for a person's faith. The Lord can shake the earth for you. Remember that. If you need help, you have a God that controls everything. And he says, "I know your particular situation, and I want to help you. I want to help." I am not exactly sure what each and every one of you church members is going through today. I do not know the financial stresses that you're going through, but God knows. I do not know the tears that you have cried this week, but God knows. I do not know the pain that you feel, but God knows. I do not know the prayers that you feel like are not being answered, but God knows and God always answers. I do not know where you are at with your relationship with God this morning, but I can tell you this much. He knows. He knows where you're at with him. I do not know, but God knows. God knows, and he is so willing to help. I do not know if there is somebody sitting in this church this morning that has never actually experienced Christ in their heart. Christ in you, the hope of glory. I do not know, but God knows. God is talking to you this morning. If you have not accepted him into your heart, it's a simple prayer of, Lord, come into my heart. It's that easy. You don't have to say it 15 times. Just once will do for today. Lord, come into my heart. Lord, come into my heart. God wants to help us in each and every situation that we're in. He is reaching out his hand towards you. It's always there. He never pulls it back. There's never an action that you can do that makes him say, tricked ya, I'm not really there anymore. His hand is always out. All you have to do is grab his hand. Grab his hand. Cling to him. If you're facing a trial, God says, I am here. Grab my hand. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understandings. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Trust in God. Don't forget the 2 points, guys, because God doesn't want you to forget. God knows, and God can work all things out for the good, whatever you are going through. Let's go ahead and